We're holding on Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph, eight lines from the top. We learned yesterday about a din that Rav Idi had said in the name of Rabbi Shurban Levi, that when it comes to measuring your tchum, and if there's a nearby city, it depends on whether the city fits within your four, if the city fits within your tchum or not. If you have, for example, you placed your eruv, or you yourself are located 1,000 amos away from the city, and the city itself is, let's say, only 500 amos wide, or even anything up to 999, or even anything actually up to 1,000 amos wide, so that it still fits within the other 1,000 amos of your tchum, then the whole thing actually counts only as 4 amos, and then you can walk an additional, in this case, 996 amos past it. As opposed to, if the 2,000 amos that you measure ends in the middle of the city, then you can only walk in the city as far as the 2,000 amos go, and you have to stop there. Rav Idi had said on this that Rabbi Shurban Levi had said, he called it Divrei Nevi'os, which according to Rashi means like it's as if like he said it as a Navi without giving a reason. It's just that's the way it is. But like, where is he getting that from? He must have learned it from his Rebbe, otherwise he never could have come up with such a svara on his own. According to Tosfos, it's meant more as a compliment, like it takes a great Talmud Chacham of the caliber of Rabbi Shurban Levi, who's almost like a Navi, to be able to come up with this distinction. So Rava had said, it's really not that surprising. You actually have the next Mishnah implies the same din. So we mentioned actually that there are two Girsais in the next Mishnah. You have Rava's Girsa and you have Rav Idi's Girsa. Rava's Girsa, so the case in the next Mishnah is you have a small city and a large city near each other. We're saying that the Mishnah says that the people of a large city can walk throughout the whole small city, but not vice, Rava's version is, but not the other way around. The people of the small city can't walk throughout the large city. So evidently, Rava says that must be the case that Rabbi Shurban Levi is talking about. The big city's tchum includes the entire small city, therefore it counts for them as 4 amos, and therefore they can walk the whole thing and then beyond it, whereas the small city's tchum does not include the whole big city, and therefore they're only able to walk 4 amos into it. Not 4 amos, they're only able to walk into it as far as their 2,000 amos will take them. Whereas Rav Idi's version of the Mishnah is that actually we're saying that both of them can walk freely throughout each other's cities. The people of the big city can walk throughout the small city and vice versa. So Rav Idi would explain, therefore, that the Mishnah is talking about that part of the Mishnah, at least, is talking about when they place their Eruv in that city. So a person from the big city placed his Eruv Tchumen someplace in the small city, and therefore the whole small city counts for him like 4 amos, and therefore he can walk, he can walk throughout the whole city, and throughout the whole small city, and then 2,000 amos on each side of it. And the small city with the big city, the same thing. Somebody from the small city placed his Eruv Tchumen in the big city. Same idea. The whole big city counts for him as 4 amos. So nothing to do with the question of measuring 2,000 amos from outside the city. So Amar of Nachman. So now to the Gemara. So Amar of Nachman, eighth line of Samach Aleph Amar Aleph, Mandatoni Anshe Lo Mishtabish, or Mandatoni Ein Anshe Lo Mishtabish. Actually, neither one of them is making a mistake. Both of those versions of the Mishnah, whether we say that the people of the small city can't walk through the large city, or whether we say that they can, neither one is wrong. Both of them can be justified because they're talking about different halachas. Mandatoni Anshe Lo Mishtabish, if we have the version as we're going to have printed down at the bottom of the Amud, that we're saying that the people of the small city can walk through the large city, then that's not a mistake. Demukim lo benoisin, because that opinion would say that we're talking about a case where you placed your Eruv in the other city. So therefore, again, the idea is the city you placed your Eruv in itself, the counts as 4 amos, therefore you're able to walk throughout the whole city and 2,000 amos on any side of it. Mandatoni ein anshe lo mishtabish. Whereas if we have the version ein anshe, which was Rava's version, and which you find by the way in the printed Mishnayos and a number of Rishonim, if we say that the people of the small city cannot walk through the whole large city, that's also not a mistake. Gemukim lo b'moide, because he would understand that it's talking about a case where you're measuring 2,000 amos. In other words, that you place your makom shvisa, your eruv, your makom shvisa, whatever, is someplace outside the city, and you're now measuring 2,000 amos from it and seeing where those 2,000 amos end. And therefore, the Mishnah is saying that the people of the small city, their 2,000 amos end someplace in the middle of the big city, and therefore, like Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi said, you can only walk as far as the 2,000 amos go, and not further. In which case, v'chsuri machsira, in which case, the Mishnah, we would have to say the Mishnah is missing a phrase, v'hachi katani, the Mishnah means as follows, anshe ir gdola mahalchanes kol irktana, the people of the big city are allowed to walk through the whole small city. V'ein anshe irktana mahalchanes kol irgdola, the people of the small city cannot walk through the entire big city. When is this talking about? But Moided is talking about when a person is measuring the tchum from outside the city. So there we have, again, if the small city fits completely within the large city's tchum, then they're able to walk the whole thing. Then it counts as if it was four amos, and they have another, let's say, 996 beyond it. As opposed to the other way around, as we've been saying, the small city, their tchum ends someplace in the middle of the big city, so therefore they're only allowed to go into the big city as far as their tchum goes. So that would be when we say that the small city cannot walk through the large city. Aval mishahoya be'ir gdola, but if somebody was living in the big city, and he placed his eruv tchumen in the small city, intending to be kona shvisa over there, and then his 2,000 amos are going to be measured from there, or the other way around, he was in a small city, he placed his eruv in a large city, then the din would be, then the din would be, as the Mishnah continues, because the mission actually continues at the bottom of the Amud, we have the case, Ketzad, the Mishnah says, how is this somebody who was in a big city and placed his eruv in the small city, or vice versa? So now, if we say that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about Moided, then one has nothing to do with the other. Therefore, we have to say Chasuri Mechsira, and therefore that the Mishnah is telling us two different dinim. Number one, what happens if you're measuring your tchum from outside the city? And number two, what happens if you place your eruv tchum in within the city? Where then we're saying that either way you're allowed to walk through the other city, and you're allowed to walk through the other city and 2,000 amos all around it. And again, as we discussed yesterday, there is a concept that Rashi and Tosfos bring, and which is brought as lahalacha, that suppose in this case your makom shvisa is in the other city, that doesn't mean, and we're saying that you only have 2,000 amos around it, that doesn't mean that the city that you stayed in at the beginning of Shabbos still, to a certain extent, is considered your makom shvisa not in the sense that you have 2,000 amos around it. Obviously, you only have 2,000 amos from your eruv, but in the sense that you are allowed to walk freely throughout your own city, even though the area of your city that you're walking in might be more than 2,000 amos from the eruv. So if the scenario was, in other words, if the scenario was that a person placed his eruv, let's say from the small city, if he placed his eruv in the big city, and he actually stayed in the big city, then we would say that his tchum is 100% that of the big city, and that would mean that on Shabbos he can only walk the 2,000 amos, and if he lives in the big city and placed in the small city, his tchum then would only extend the 2,000 amos, and if that happens to end in the middle of the big city, then yeah, that's only as far as he can go, and if his house is outside of that, then tough luck. But if he placed his eruv in the small city, then went back to the big city and stayed there Friday night, and then Shabbos morning is setting out, then we have reason to say that he would still keep that the actual place where he stayed overnight is still considered like his four amos, in the sense that therefore he can walk throughout that whole city, but not any distance further than that would be outside of the tchum of his eruv. Okay. Another din. Omer Rabbi Yosef, Omer Rami bar Choma, Omer Rami bar Abba, Omer Rav Huna. Yushi Yeshevas al Sfas HaNachal. If you have a city that is situated by the edge of a valley. Now usually the word Nachal means a river, or actually more like a stream or something. But here, sometimes the word Nachal just means a valley, like you have the Nachal Eson from the Egla Arufa. Most of the Rishonim learn that it doesn't actually have to have flowing water in it; it just has to have it just has to be a deep valley. So So here we're talking. So here Rashi also defines nachal as omoik as deep, which mean and other Rishonim explain. I think the Ritva and others explain that Rashi means, in other words, that we're talking over here about a valley rather than a stream. So you have the river. So the city is located on the slope of a mountain or next to a deep valley. So the din is im yesh lefaneh daka arba. If you have in front of the city, between it and the valley, you have a daka of at least 4 amas tall. Now, we learned a couple of days ago about a daka, and we said Rashi defined a daka as a low. We said that Rashi defined a daka as a low door, a small door. Here, Rashi defines it like the way Tosfos did over there, that it means mechitza. But it means, in this case, it has to be a mechitza 4 amas tall. So if you have a mechitza along the whole valley, four amas tall, then modin la misfas hanachal, then we measure their tum from the edge of the valley. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains, we consider it, it's a full-fledged city. So therefore, we measure its tum just like we measure any other city. We square it off, we measure the 2,000 amas, etc. The point is, because since you have that daka, since you have that embankment over there, of 4 amas tall, then therefore people live in the city and are able to function in the city normally, because they're not afraid of falling into the valley, or some other mafoshim say. We could be talking about the nachal over here could be a stream. If without that, they would have to be afraid all the time that the stream is going to overflow its banks and flood their city. The imlab, so if they don't have this daka, but that's 4 amas tall, ein modin la elam pesach besoy. Then we measure only from the entrances of their houses. Meaning, Rashi says, since they're afraid to walk around and use their houses and streets on a normal basis, because they can easily fall down into that deep valley, or the other possibility is that the river could flood any time. So therefore, it's not really considered a city. It's considered, like we learned earlier in the perek, like Yoshvei Tzrifin, like the people who live in huts, where we said we don't count it as a city, where there we said each person just has the individual tum of their house. So here it would be the same kind of thing because they don't have this daka. That's all Rashi's explanation. Then you have the rif, and so Rashi's explanation again is that we're talking about forget what I said about the stream. That's a different explanation. According to Rashi, the vote is, again, we have a deep valley right outside the city. The city slopes down towards it, and therefore, if you don't have the daka over there, then people are nervous going about their daily activities because they may fall down into the nachal, and therefore it can't really be considered a city. The Rif and the Rambam have a whole different explanation. They explain that the nachal over here does contain water, and therefore the idea is if you have a daka, so here the details of the explanation are a little bit different. The Rif understands that we're talking about they need the daka because otherwise they're afraid that the river is going to flood and flood their houses, and therefore without that it's not really considered a city. According to the Rambam, the daka is more like a dock at the edge of the river. If you have, according to him, it would be more like a low bench. But again, it would be 4 amas, not so much tall, but wide. If it's that width, then you're not afraid to use the river. So then, for example, you can use the river to draw water from it. When it dries up, you can use the valley floor that where the river was, etc. So then we can count. So then they learn that when we say merged in law, misfas hanachal means you're able to include the valley or the stream within the city itself, and you start measuring the tum only from the other side of it, because then the nachal is considered a part of the city. If not, if there's no daka of 4 amas over there, then the nachal doesn't count as part of the city, then the nachal doesn't count as part of the city, then you can only measure the tchum from the edge of the actual houses of the city. So modern law elam pesach beisai would mean you start measuring, it still would be considered a city either way. Not like Rashi says that if it doesn't have a daka, it's not a city at all. According to them, it is a city in that case. You just don't count the river or the stream or the valley or whatever as part of the city. You start measuring rather from the edge of the city on the near side of the river. So that's according to them what this daka means over here. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya asked Rabbi Yosef, who said this din, daka arba amas amrit lan Allah. Now you told us in this case that you need a daka of four amas, but we have to wonder, Maishnah mikol daki da'alma, why is it different than every other case where you need a daka da'arba'a, where there all you need is four tfachim? Now in the printed Gemara over here, actually, we had the word arba'a a couple of lines ago, where arba'a, which is Lashon Zachar, usually means Tvachim. But in fact, on the side over here, Argos V'Tzionim changes it to Arba, which would be Lashon Nekeva, which would therefore be Amos. And Rashi also explained it meant Arba Amos. So we said that the Daka over here has to be four Amos tall, so why is it usually a Daka only has to be four Tvachim tall? For example, we have the cases... We have the case a couple of days ago where you have people whose houses open directly into the chatzar and people whose houses open into a mirpeses, into a gallery, where then they go down by stairs to the chatzar. And we said that if they build a daka in front of their stairs, then there's no problem if they don't make an eruv between them. Then each one is allowed to carry, the people of the mirpeses are allowed to carry in the mirpeses, the people of the chatzar are able to carry in their chatzar, and they don't aser one on the other. So why over there do we only need a daka of four tfachim, and here we need a daka of four amas? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers it, because the difference is hasam loy b'isa tashmishta. Because over there, there's no fear of using it. The reason you need a daka in that case, and in another case we had over there involving a mavui, was not because of the fear of using it, but just to be symbolically that you're separating yourself from the other people of the other mavoyas or from the people of the chatzar. So therefore, four tfachim is enough. But over here, the point is, they're going to be afraid to use, according to Rashi, they're going to be afraid to use the city in general, to walk around in the city, to use their streets and their houses or whatever, because they may slide off into the valley, and therefore you need four amas in order to prevent that. Or according to the Rif and according to the Rambam, you need four amas in order to prevent that they're not nervous about the river flooding, or just that they're able to go and use the river without being afraid that they'll fall in. So therefore, here where you're doing it because you actually are afraid of falling in or flooding or whatever, then you need a larger amount. Then you need four amas. But otherwise, four tfachim is enough. Amr Rabbi Yosef Minah Minala. So Rabbi Yosef says, where do I get this from? That you should need four amas in this kind of case, where you have a city on the slope near a valley. Titania, we learn in a brisa, Hiti Rebbe Shiyu Bnei Geder Yodin L'chatnasan. Rebbe gave a heter that people of Geder are allowed to go down to Chamson on Shabbos. Geder was further up the slope. Chamson was at the bottom of the slope. Chamson was where some of the hot springs of Tveria are nowadays. You have the hot springs in Tveria itself, and you have others in the area over there. One of them is in a place called Chamson. The Gemara elsewhere mentions that between Tveria and Chamson is a mill distance. So Chamson is near Tveria nowadays. I guess it's part of Tveria, whatever. Geder is further up the hill from there. So Rebbe allowed the people of Geder to go down to Chamson on Shabbos. The Ein Bnei Chamson Olam LeGeder, but the people of Chamson down at the bottom of the slope by the Kinneret are not allowed to go up the slope to Geder. Now my timer. So Rabbi Yosef says, what's the logic? Now you have what's the logic? Why should the people of Geder be able to go down to Chamson but not the other way around? Lav Mishum Dahani Ovur Daka Vahani Lo Ovur Daka. The pashtus it must be. Because the people of Geder made themselves a daka to prevent themselves from sliding down the mountain, whereas the people of, so therefore, so now Geder is considered a city. So therefore, they have, so we measure their tum in the usual way we measure the tum of a city. So therefore, in other words, even the people who live, so you look in the diagram here in Rashi, even the people who live high up in Geder, as far away from Chamsan as possible, still the whole city counts for them like four amos. Therefore, therefore all of them are able to walk down to Chamsan. Whereas Chamsan did not, let's assume, Chamsan did not make themselves a daka between themselves and the Kinneret. So therefore, we wouldn't count them, therefore we wouldn't consider them a city, according to Rashi's explanation of the sugya over here. We wouldn't consider them a city. So therefore, so the people of Chamsan who happen to live further up the slope, closer to Geder, sure, they might be within 2,000 amas of Geder, they can walk together. But the people down, further down the slope, who are more than 2,000 amas away from Geder, they wouldn't be able to, because we'd said that each one would have their own individual tum of their house. So therefore, so we see from that, says Rabbi Yosef, presumably, therefore, there's a difference whether you have a daka or not, whether your place counts as a city or not.
Rabbi, if a daka is there made by the city of Geder, so then it's theirs, then the other city could also use the same Geder.
What good is it going to do them? It's further up the slope from them. Look. Imagine that you have, at the continuation of this diagram, you have the Kinneret at the bottom. A daka above Chamsan is not going to keep them from sliding down into the Kinneret, or the Kinneret overflowing and flooding their city or whatever.
No, but I'm talking about going back and talking about the people from Chamsan to go together.
No, but the point is, in other words, according to Rashi's explanation of the sugya, since Chamsan did not make their own daka between themselves and the river, therefore the result is Chamsan is not counted as a city as a whole. The Chamsan is counted as a bunch of individual houses.
Oh.
So some people in Chamsan will be able to walk together because if they happen to live within 2,000 amas of Geder, then sure, they'll be able to walk there. But maybe the people further down, let's say, imagine, for example, that between Geder and Chamsan is 1,700 amas. Let's say Chamsan is 400 amas long. So the people who live in the first 300 amas of it are going to be able to walk together, but the people in the last 100 amas, closest to the Kinneret, are not going to be able to, because by the time they walk 2,000 amas from their door, they haven't reached Geder yet. Again, according to the Rambam and according to the Rif, we would understand the situation a little differently, that since they didn't make a daka, then therefore their tchum is measured differently than, since they didn't make a daka, therefore their tchum would be measured differently than it would otherwise, and the point is it wouldn't include Geder as well. So we see from that, therefore, says Rabbi Yosef, that making a daka makes a difference. And once we say that, then we can say it's logical that over here, where you need it, because, again, Be'isa Tashmishta, you'd be afraid to use the city otherwise, or you'd be afraid to use the valley or the river otherwise, then therefore you need four amos. However, the Gemara says not necessarily, because Ki Osir of Dimi, Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he gave a different explanation of what's going on with the story with Geder and Chamsan. Omar, he says like this, Tatrugi Metatrigi, Tatrugi Metatrigi Lahu Bnei Geder Libnei Chamsan. What happens is, the people of Geder used to be beating up and killing, Rashi says Vahurgin on the side of it here, it brings a different girsa that's in Dikduke Sofrim, Vahurgin, that they would beat up. Whatever, the people of Geder would harass and bother the people of Chamsan. So therefore, my heter hiskin. So what do we mean? What kind of heter was Rebbe giving as far as Geder and Chamsan? Apparently, Rebbe was not able to prevent the violence that's going on, where the people of Chamsan are beating up the people of Geder. So the only thing you could do is make a takana that practically speaking, people of Geder, you will be allowed to go down to Chamsan. There won't be a problem, as the Gemara is going to say in a second. They're not going to start up when they're not in their city. But people of Chamsan should not go up to Geder. Nothing to do with the dinim of Tchumin, but just as a practical matter, don't do it because you're going to be in danger. So umayshna Shabbos, in which case, why would it be specific to Shabbos then? And the reason is the shichah b'shichrus, because on Shabbos it's much more common that people get drunk. You think of it how it is nowadays. You know, people have a little too much mashka by a kiddush, and you know, sometimes things happen. So therefore, so we would say, so it had nothing to do. So Reb Dimi is saying it had nothing to do with the dinim of tchumin. It just had to do that Rebbe was saying people of chamsan don't go up together because you may end up getting beaten up over there. I saw somebody in a journal wanted to claim that maybe the people of Gedder were Kusim and the people of Chamsan were Jews, and we know that in general the Kusim and the Jews didn't get along very much. So it could be then the idea is that that Jews from Chamsan, if they wanted to go up to Gedder, in particular on Shabbos, and the Kusim after all do observe Shabbos in some way because they do keep the mitzvahs d'Oraisa, so they would end up getting drunk and they would end up beating up the Jews who wandered into their place. So the question is, so how does this help? Don't you have the problem that the other way around? If the people, on the other hand, I don't know that really works, because if we're saying that Rebbe gave a heter or Rebbe made a takana that these people are allowed to and these people aren't allowed to, if the people of Gedder are kusim, they're not going to be listening to Rebbe anyway, so it wouldn't make a difference. So we could, it might be more logical to assume that both groups were Jews and to see how the people of Gedder were tougher guys and they tend to start fights like that. So the question is, then how are we allowing people of Gedder to come down the hill to Chamsan? Don't they have the same problem? So what's going to happen? They come down from Gedder to Chamsan, they're going to start fights over there also. What have we accomplished by saying that the people of Gedder are allowed to come down to Chamsan? The answer is, the Gemara answers with a popular expression, Kalba b'loy Mosi, a dog that's not in his hometown, Shev Shnin loy Navach, for 7 years he won't bark. In other words, that a person, I think we have this expression in Shabbos as well. But anyway, the point is that even a dog recognizes when he's not on his home turf and is nervous to start fights. Eventually he gets used to the place and, like, so to speak, after 7 years, and then he'll bark and then he'll get aggressive again. The point is, the people of Gedder, if they come down to Chamsan, they're not on their home turf, therefore they're less likely to start up arguments. The question is, don't we have the problem of people of Gedder come to Chamsan that the people of Chamsan are going to beat them up? The answer is, the answer is, the people of Gedder are not so subservient to the people of Gedder, the people of Chamsan. In other words, the people of Chamsan, for whatever reason, are going to be afraid to start up with the people of Gedder. They realize that the people of Gedder have the upper hand over them. Maybe because they're further up the slope. Could be it has to do with the fact that the people of Gedder are further up the slope, and therefore. And therefore they're more able to cause them trouble in many different ways, because usually, you know, whoever occupies the higher ground usually has the upper hand. So the people of Chamsan are not going to start up with the people of Gedder, because the people of Gedder are not going to take it from them. So by Rebbe saying that people of Gedder can come down to Chamsan, but not the other way around, that takes care of the situation that makes it that now there's not going to be any of these fights and beating up and possibly even killing. Okay, so if we understand it that way, then it has nothing to do with Tchumen, and therefore we have no proof for what Rabbi Yosef is saying about a Daka. Rab Safra gives a different explanation of what was the situation over here with Chamsan and Gedder. Has nothing to do with a slope at all. The situation was Ir HaAsuik Keshes Havoi. It was a city that was shaped like a bow. We talked about a din a few days ago where you have a city that's shaped like a bow, shaped like a U shape, where we said, We had a din over there that if the two ends of the bow are more than 4,000 amas apart, then we said that we don't have one general tchum for the city. Then we said each person has their own individual tchum from their house. So now Rashi explains the scenario was like this. Chamsan was shaped like a bow. The open side of it, the side where you would have the bowstring, was facing toward was was facing towards Geder. So, okay, so we'll still assume, Rashi says, that we're still talking about that Geder and Chamson are on a slope, because geographically that is how it is. Chamson is down by the Kinneret, and Geder is further up the slope. But what happened was, in other words, that Geder being a regular-sized city has a regular tchum, and the whole Chamson happens to fit within its tchum. So therefore, the people of Geder are able to freely walk down to Chamson and walk throughout and walk 2,000 and continue walking continue walking beyond Geder even. Well, okay, if they go too far beyond Geder, then they're in the Kinneret. But whatever. The point is that they're able to walk throughout the entire Chamson because it all fits within their 2,000 amos. As opposed to, on the other hand, the people of Chamson, they live in the bow-shaped area. So therefore, so again, because there's more than 4,000 amas distance between one end of the bow and the other, therefore, the result is they don't have a general city tchum. We say that each person's house has its own individual tchum, and therefore some people are not going to be able to walk throughout the whole Geder. They start walking 2,000 amas, and they wind up someplace in the middle of Geder. And again, as we said before, then the din is they're only allowed to walk up to that point in Geder and no further. So we're saying that Rebbe is saying that the people of Geder are allowed to go down to Chamson, meaning they're allowed to walk through the entire city without a problem, whereas the people of Geder can only go, and they can go to Chamson, but they can only go as far as their tchum will take them. And if they happen to live on the far side of Geder, on the side at the top of the bow, then they're going to be able to walk very little into the city. That's all Rashi's explanation. Tosfos gives a different explanation, that it's the other way around. Geder was shaped, you can see the diagram in Tosfos. Geder was shaped, not like Rashi says that Chamson was shaped like a bow. It's the other way around. Geder was shaped like a bow. There weren't 4,000 amos between the ends. So therefore, the din is, as we learned the other day, murdered in Lamina Yeser. We consider as though the entire empty area in the middle of Geder is filled up with houses. So therefore, and we start measuring the tchum from the imaginary bowstring. So Chamson is within 2,000 amas of that. Therefore, they're able to go to Chamson, whereas Chamson is not able to go because their tchum ends someplace before the end. Their tchum may include some part of Geder. It may not include any part, depending on how exactly Chamson was shaped and where it's located relative to Geder. And so, therefore, the idea would be therefore that again, the people of Geder are freely able to go to Chamson, but not the other way around. That's Tosfos' explanation. Rav Dimi Bar Chinina says a different explanation of what was going on with Chamson and Geder. It was exactly the situation that we talked about at the top of the Amud, and which we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah now, where you have a big city and a small city. So therefore, again, it's similar to Rav Safra's explanation, but it doesn't require us to say that either of the cities was shaped like a bow particularly. It just happens that Chamson that Chamson was a small city and Geder was a big city, and therefore you have the din that we mentioned before, where Geder's tchum includes the entire Chamson, but not the other way around. So again, when we say that Rebbe said that the people of Chamson can't go up to Geder, doesn't mean that they can't go at all. It just means they can go only as far as their 2,000 amos will take them. And if that happens to end in a certain place in the middle of Geder, then that's where they have to stop.
All this is true only because Chamson has a bow-shaped area.
The bow shape is only according to Rav Safra. Rav Dimi Bar Chinina is saying, forget about bow shapes. Just the fact that you have a small city and a large city near each other, it's possible for one to fit within the other's tchum and not vice versa. I can show a diagram over here, although since you're only on the phone, you know, you really should consider joining the video portion of the thing as well. Then you'd be able to see when I show diagrams. I can show the diagram over here. You won't be able to see it. But here, let me do that. At least for Ellie's benefit. So here's the scenario. You have a big city and you have a small city. Geder is the big city, Chamson is the small one. So what happens is, then, again, a person who lives in Chamson, a person who lives in Geder, rather, the big city, their whole city counts as 4 amas for them. So now, let's say they walk 1,000 amas towards Chamson. Chamson itself is, let's say, 1,000 amas wide. So therefore, so they've so far, it's considered lahalacha that they've, when they reach the other end of Chamson, they've only walked 1,004 amas, 1,000 the distance from their city to the other, and the whole city counts as 4. Then they have another 996. Whereas the other way around, a person who lives in Chamson, they can walk in their whole city, that counts as 4 amas, but then they leave their city, they start walking the 1,000 amas, they walk 1,000 amas, and they reach the walls of Geder, and then they walk another 1,000 amas, and that's it, that's where they have to stop. Because at that point, they've walked 2,000 amas, because the whole Geder does not fit within their tchum. So again, it's the same scenario that we mentioned before, and the same scenario that we're going to mention in the next Mishnah. So again,
The fact that one city is considered 4 amas as opposed to the other one is only due to the size of the city, or there's another reason?
So that's the thing. Reb Safra had said it's not strictly due to the size of the city. Reb Safra had said it can be due to the shape of the city. If we have a bow-shaped city, and we have Rashi's and Tosfos' explanation of how exactly the layout was. But Reb Dimi Bar Chinina is saying it doesn't even need to depend on the shape of the city. It can depend strictly on the size. Yeah.
And why is that?
Because that's what we're saying. The rule that Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi laid down that we learned in the Gemara yesterday was that if an entire city fits within your Tum Shabbos, then that city is counted like 4 amas, and then you can continue beyond it. As opposed to if it does not fit within the Tum, then you can only go in it as far as your 2,000 amas will take you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's
the halacha. Yeah. We said Rav Idi had been surprised about it, Ein Ela Divrei Nevi'os, but we have one version of the next Mishnah that supports this link. So Rav Kahana Masni Hachi. So the Gemara finishes off. Rav Kahana learned the discussion this way, the last two opinions. So again, so we had 4 different opinions of what was going on over here with Geder and Chamson. We had Rabbi Yosef's understanding that it depends on the fact that the people of Geder made a daka and the people of Chamson did not. And he said that proves that we have this din about a daka making a difference as far as the city. We have the second explanation from Rav Dimi that says that it was a matter of the people of Geder beating up and killing the people of Chamson, whereas it wasn't the other way around. Therefore, so nothing to do with dinim of Shabbos. It, practically speaking, this took place on Shabbos because that's when they would get drunk and fights would break out, but it had nothing to do with the dinim of Shabbos per se. We had Rav Safra saying that we're talking about one of these cities, Chamson according to Rashi, Geder according to Tosfos, was shaped like a bow. And you have Rav Dimi Bar Chinina, who says that there's nothing specific as far as shapes, just Geder is a big city and Chamson is a small city. Anyway, so Rav Kahana Masni Hachi, Rav Kahana learned that those last two opinions like that we have. That it was clear that Rav Safra had said that we're talking about a city shaped like a bow, and Rav Dimi Bar Chinina, it's clear, was the one who said that we're talking about a big versus a small city. Rav Tavyumi Masni Hachi, on the other hand, Rav Tavyumi learned it differently. He wasn't clear which one said which. So he just learned it like this. Rav Safar, Rav Dimi Bachena, Chad Amo Ir Hasui Kekesha Safoi, one of them, Rav Tavyumi wasn't sure which one, said that the scenario was that one of the cities was shaped like a bow, Vachad Amo Anche Yuktana, Anche Yukdola Havoi, and the other one said that it was a small city versus a big city. So Rav Tavyumi was not sure which one said which, unlike Rav Kahana was sure. Okay, so the bottom line is, I mean, we don't have proof from this Braisa about the din of Daka, because again, we had Rabbi Yosef understanding it in those terms, but we had three other ways of understanding it. Nevertheless, we haven't contradicted Rabbi Yosef either, and therefore that is the halacha, that if the city has a Daka, then it makes a difference or not. Again, according to Rashi, that would mean whether we count it as a city versus as a collection of individual houses. According to the Rif and the Rambam, it has to do with where do we measure the tchum from the other side of the river or from the same side of the river, and that's the halacha as brought in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, which we've quoted before, the people of the big city are able to walk throughout the whole small city. The people of the small city are able to walk in the whole big city. Now, again, we said at the top of the Amud that we have two different gusas in our Mishnah. The gusa that we have in front of us over here, we said, was Rav Idi's gusa. So either one is allowed to walk through the whole one. So there he said that it's talking about where you place your Eruv in the other city, where there the city you place your Eruv in counts as four Amos, and then you have your full 2,000 Amos on each side of it. Therefore we said Rav Idi was surprised at Rav Yeshua ben Levi's din. Where did he get it from? On the other hand, we said Rava's girsa was in Anshei Yuchana Mahalchanas Kalei Yugdoila, that they can't, which is in fact the version that you find in the printed Mishnayos. And that would mean, therefore, so we're talking about where you're measuring your tchum from outside the city, and your tchum winds up ending someplace in the middle of the city, where then we said you're only able to walk as far as your tchum goes, and you have to stop there in the middle of the city. So the commissioner continues, Ketzad, what's the scenario? And again, we said, if we have the Gyusa, Ein Anshe, like you have in the Mishnayos, then you would have to say that the Mishnah is Chasuri Mechser, that the Mishnah is missing words, and it's talking about two different cases. The first words of the Mishnah, the first line and a half of the Mishnah, until Mahalchanas Kol Ir Gedola, is talking about a case of measuring your tchum from outside the city. And now we're talking about, on the other hand, it'll be a different din when you place your Eruv in the city and make your Makom Shvisa in the city. So Ketzad, Misha Hoya Be'ir Gedola, if a person lives in a large city, and he places his Eruv in the nearby small city, or he lives in the small city and puts his Eruv in the big city, either way, he's able to walk throughout that whole city and 2,000 Amos outside of it, again, because the idea is that the enclosed area, the city where he placed his Eruv, is counted for him like 4 Amos. On the other hand, so now all of that is according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva Omer Eimay Elam Emakim Eruv Ayapayim Ama. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with the whole concept and says that no, he only has 2,000 Amos from where he placed his Eruv. So even, in other words, so he placed it. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you live in the big city and place your Eruv in the small city, or the other way around, we don't say the whole city counts like 4 Amos. No, we say that you start measuring 2,000 from where you place your Eruv. And that would mean, for example, if you live in the small city and you place your Eruv in the big city, then you only have 2,000 Amos in every direction from where you placed it in the big city. If you happen to place it at the far end of the big city and the 2,000 Amos of it don't even include your small city, then you have a problem. So where does Rabbi Akiva get this from? Continues the Mishnah. Amalahem Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says to the Chachamim, I can prove to you this din, that we don't say that the whole enclosed area where you placed your Eruv counts as 4 Amos. Rabbi Akiva says, don't you, Chachamim, agree with me if a person places his Eruv in a cave, and the cave might be very large? And the din is that he only has 2,000 amas in every direction from his city, from his eruv. So therefore, so why should it be any different than a city? Amruloi, so the Chachamim answered him, no, because the difference is Amasai, because when does that din apply? Bisman she'ein b'diyurin, where nobody lives in that cave. Then we say that the whole cave does not necessarily count as 4 Amos. It would depend on the size of the cave. We learned previously in the second parak that if the cave is larger than Beis Sasayim, then we would say it doesn't count as an enclosed area, and therefore you only start measuring from the actual Eruv, from the actual Eruv itself. Avo yesh b'diurin, but if people live in the cave, then you are allowed to walk throughout the whole cave and even 2,000 amos outside of it. Nimsa, so the chum say, comes out. Kal toicha me'algaba. So you have a cooler if you place your eruv inside the cave versus if you were to place it on top of the cave. On top of the cave, there are no walls around it. It's not a place where anybody can live. So therefore, we would say you only have 2,000 amos from it. But if you place it inside the cave, and it's the kind of cave where people live in, then you actually have the entire cave plus 2,000 amos. So you gain that way. There's a different explanation that Rabbeinu Yohanan says on the Rif, that yesh b'diyurin and ein b'diyurin doesn't mean whether people physically live in there. It means whether it's the kind of place that people could live. Meaning, does it have solid walls around it so that a person could live there and be safe? Or does it have, let's say, the walls are half broken down so a person wouldn't feel safe living over there because anybody could come and attack him or whatever? So then we would say, if it's enclosed enough that a person can feel safe and live there normally, then we would say the whole thing counts as four amos, and if not, then not. So anyway, the point is that the Chachamim say to Rabbi Akiva, this that you're saying, if you place the Eruv in a city, it doesn't count as four amos, and you're proving from the case of a cave is much different than a city, because a city people live in, and a cave people don't live in normally. And the Chachamim finish off, v'lamoded she'omru noisen apayim amah. Now we do say, on the other hand, the Chachamim do agree, when a person is measuring this tchum, meaning if he wasn't kona shvisa in the cave, he didn't place his Erev Chatzeros or make his Mokom Shvisa in the cave, but rather he was someplace else and he's walking towards the cave on Shabbos, then, and we say we give him 2,000 amas, that we said he doesn't have a measuring tape with him necessarily, but we said he walks 2,000 average size steps, and that's his tchum. So therefore, that means Shafibu Seif Midase Kol Amara, there indeed we would say, like Rabbi Akiva says, that even if the measurement ends in the middle of the cave, then that's as far as he can go. Because again, so he walked, let's say, 1,500 amos from where he was at the beginning of Shabbos. So he at the beginning of Shabbos, let's say he was 1,500 amos away from the cave. He decided to be kona shvisa there. Now on Shabbos, he wants to walk to the cave. So he walks 1,500 amos. The cave itself is, let's say, 1,000 amos wide. So he can only walk 500 amos into the cave. And then he has to stop because of the same concept as we said as far as a city. So there, the Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Akiva that the cave doesn't count as 4 amos, but they disagree with him where he was kona shvisa in the cave. Where Rabbi Akiva would say that you never count it as 4 amos, and the Chum would say it depends whether people live there or whether people could live there. Okay, so the Gemara says on Amud Beis, Amud of Yehuda Amud Shmuel, Shavas be'ir chareva l'rabbanon. What happens according to the Rabbanon if a person is spending Shabbos in a desolate city? So the city is still, the city wall in particular is still intact, but the city has been emptied of its people, and a person decided to spend Shabbos over there. So according to the Rabbanan, Mahalachas Kolov Chotzala Apayim Amah, he's still able to walk throughout the whole thing and 2,000 Amos outside of it, because after all, he was in Mechitzis before Shabbos. Now, Rashi points out, Rabbi Akiva would agree with that also. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is disagreeing about the case. Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah is disagreeing about the case where he placed his Eruv in a different city, but where he says it's like placing your Eruv in a cave. But if he was actually Kona Shvisa in the city or in the cave, then Rabbi Akiva agrees it's like 4 amas. So in this case, even though the city is empty and nobody is living there anymore, but because the walls are still intact, therefore we would say that you're able to walk throughout the whole thing and 2,000 amas outside of it. On the other hand, if he placed his Eruv in this empty city, then Shmuel says that he would only have 2,000 amas from the place of his Eruv. In other words, the city does not count as 4 amas because even the Chachamim in our Mishnah would be talking about only when people are living there. The Chachamim said in the Mishnah, when there's diurin over there, then we would count it as 4 amas, but not when there's no diurin. So that's according to Rashi that we're talking about, that diurin means people actually living there. According to Rabbeinu Yohanan, that diurin means that you're capable of living there because it's safe to live. Then the idea would be we'd be distinguishing whether the walls are still completely intact and therefore it's safe to live there versus the walls are partially destroyed and therefore it's not safe to live there. Anyway, that's Shmuel. Rabbi Loza says it doesn't make a difference. Whether he's spending Shabbos there so that his Mokum Shvisa is his actual place where he's located, or whether he placed his Eruv there and he himself is spending the beginning of Shabbos elsewhere, either way, the whole city counts as 4 amos, and therefore he can walk outside at 2,000 amos. There's no difference, says Rabbi Loza, whether the city is occupied by people or not. So the Gemara says, Meisvi, I have a contradiction against Rabbi Elazar. We said in the Mishnah, Amar lahem Rabbi Akiva, Iyatam modim li benosin eser over b'ma'ara. Rabbi Akiva says to the Chachamim, don't you agree with me if a person places his Erov in a cave, she'ein loimim, again, where he himself is located elsewhere, but he's placing his Erov in the cave in order to be Kodesh Visa there, she'ein loimim okim Erova ela apayim amma, that in that case he only has 2,000 amas. The cave itself does not count as 4 amas. Amruloy, and the Chacham answered him, Amisai bizmancha ein badiurin. When does that apply when nobody is living there? Implying, but if in a cave or a city where people are living, then the whole thing counts as 4 amas regardless. Implying, ha ein badiurin moduloy, implying they would agree with him if there's nobody living there. So what are you telling me, Rabbi Elazar, that even though the city is empty, is desolate, that nevertheless the whole thing can count as 4 amas? Even the Chachamim and the Mishnah, or the Chachamim and the Mishnah aren't saying that. The answer is Rabbi Elazar would explain, my ein badiyurin ein ruuya ladira. He would say the words ein badiyurin doesn't mean that physically people are or aren't living there. It means it's not suitable to live in, meaning if the walls were knocked down, so the city is desolate and there's no walls, so it's not even fit to live in anymore. So then of course we would say that you don't have 4 amas, then we would just say you have the 2,000 amas in every direction from your area of the whole city doesn't count as 4,000 as 4 amas because the walls have been knocked down. But Rabbi Elazar would say if the walls still exist, then that would still be considered yesh b'diurin, because even though you don't physically have people living there, but you do have walls and people could live there conceivably. The Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, Shabbas be'ir, if a person makes his makam shvista for Shabbos in a city, afilu higdola ka Antuchia, even if that city is large as Antuchia in English is called Antioch, it was the capital of Syria, nowadays it's in southern Turkey on the Mediterranean, but in those times it was a... It was named after Antiochus. Well, it was named after Antiochus, but not the Antiochus of Hanukkah. It was named after one of his ancestors who built the city. The Antiochus of Hanukkah was the fourth one of that dynasty to have that name. But there were three other ones before him, and the first one of them built the city and named it Antioch after himself, or Antiochia, as we're calling it here in the Gemara. Anyway, the point is that that was a huge city for those times. So even if the city is that large, or b'ma'ara, if a person is making his makam shvisa in a cave, afilu hi k'ma'aras Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda, even if it's as large as the cave of Tzidkiyahu, this is the famous cave that Tzidkiyahu had from under Yerushalayim all the way out to Yericho, where his plan was that if Yerushalayim gets captured, as eventually it did, then he's going to run away through this cave and run out to Yericho and regroup his army and whatever. In the event, what happened was, you have the famous Medrash, that Hashem foiled his plans. Hashem made it that a deer was running along over there above the cave, and so the Kasti soldiers, the Babylonian soldiers, are chasing after the deer to hunt it, and they wound up leading them to the entrance to the other exit of the cave in Yericho, and then they came there just as Tzidkiyahu was coming out of the cave, and they captured him, etc. But that cave then was extremely long. It went all the way from Yerushalayim to Yericho, which is several miles. So if that's the case, if you spend Shabbos in such a huge city or such a huge cave, nevertheless, mahalachas kolav chutzal alpayim amma, you're still allowed to walk through the whole thing plus an extra 2,000 amas on every direction of it. There are, by the way, some mafoshim who say that maybe the din would only apply to a man-made cave. Maybe it wouldn't apply. I think the Magen Mishnah talks about this. Maybe I don't remember that. Maybe this wouldn't apply to a natural cave. The Ma'aras Tzidkiyahu is a pastures that started out as a natural cave, but then they enlarged it, so it's considered man-made. But if it was a purely natural cave, maybe we wouldn't say that din. Anyway. So we said Katoni. Now we mentioned two cases in the Braisa: one where it was a large city like Antiochia, and one where it's a large cave like this cave of Tzidkiyahu. So Katoni ir Jumia Demara. We should assume that the fact that the Braisa puts those two cases together means that it wants to tell us that there's a certain similarity between them. In other words, what kind of city are we talking about? One which is similar to a cave. Mama ora chareva af ir chareva. Just like a cave is typically empty, nobody usually lives in caves. And obviously, there it can't mean that's missing its walls, because as a cave, by definition, it has walls. Af ir chareva. Evidently, the city, also we have to be talking about where the city is desolate. So you have the city is physically as large as Antiochia, but everybody left the city and nobody is living there. So therefore, so we're saying, but again, the walls obviously are still there, because obviously, if not, then you couldn't say Mahalachas Kula. So therefore, and the point is, v'shavas ein. However, the Braisa is telling us, only if you actually started Shabbos, only if Bein HaShemashes, you were located there in the cave or in the city, then you're allowed to walk through the whole thing plus 2,000 Amos. But apparently the implication is, if you just placed your Eruv there, then no, then we would say you only have 2,000 Amos in every direction. Now, we have to ask, if we understand the Braisa that way, Mani, then who is this Braisa like Rabbi Akiva or like the Chachamim? Ilema Rabbi Akiva, is it like Rabbi Akiva? You'd have to say, then you have to ask, my Iriya Chareva, then why bother mentioning the case where the city is desolate? After the Yesheva Nami, according to Rabbi Akiva, the same din would apply, even if the city is inhabited. Because again, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no difference. Any time that you're hiniach, then the whole thing doesn't count as four amas. Only if shavas does it count as four amas. So according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no difference whether the city is actually inhabited or not. So the braisa can't be according to Rabbi Akiva. And Rashi adds, it can't be to tell us the chiddush that still, even though it's desolate, if he started Shabbos there, if he was there ben hashmashas, then he's able to walk the whole thing. Because Rashi says there's no chiddush in that. We learned previously in the first perek that if a person is inside any kind of enclosed area on Shabbos, then they're able to walk in the whole thing. Even we said, let's say a person was on a hill or a valley. Or even he was in a field and the middle of the field was harvested and the edges of it, the grain stalks around the edges of it were not harvested, then those count as a mechitza and he's able to walk throughout the whole thing. So there'd be no chiddush in mentioning that a desolate city, if it still has walls, you're able to walk through the whole thing as long as you were shavas. So the braisa can't be according to the Bakiva. Because according to him, there's no chiddush. If it was shavas, then there's no chiddush. We know that din already. And if it wasn't shavas, if it was hiniach, then Rabbi Akiva would hold the same din applies even if the city is inhabited. Ela lav rabbanon. Evidently, then the braisa has to be according to the rabbanon over time of the shavas. And therefore, so we're saying that they agree when the city is empty that it doesn't count as four amos. And they would say the time of the Shavas, so only if he started, if Bein HaShemashes, he was there, Ein, then yes, we would say that the whole thing counts as four amas, Aval Hiniach Loi. But if he put his Eruv Tumen in there, then no, it wouldn't count as four amas. So that works according to Shmuel. That doesn't work according to Rabbi Elazar. The answer is, the Gemara says, Loi. No, your assumption of what the Braisa means is wrong. You're assuming the Braisa mentioned a city and a cave, and it wants to tell us that the city is similar to the cave in that it's desolate, nobody actually lives there, but it still has walls. But no, understand it the other way around. Loi tema ir dumya demara. Don't say we're talking about a city which is similar to a cave. Ela ema ma'ara dumya deir. The other way around, we're talking about a cave that is similar to a city. Ma'ir yeshiva, just like a city is inhabited usually, and in the case of Antiochia, we would assume it's inhabited. Af ma'ara yeshiva, the same way, we're talking about a cave that is in fact inhabited. V'Rabbi Akiva hi, and then the braisa would be according to Rabbi Akiva, which still Rabbi Akiva says, Da'oma eima mimokim eruv ela alpaim ama. Rabbi Akiva says in our Mishnah that if he placed his Eruv there, then he only has 2,000 Amos in every direction from the Eruv, meaning that the cave or the city does not count as 4 Amos, but only because he placed his Eruv there rather than actually being located there at the beginning of Shabbos. So therefore, so the Braisa wants us to know over Shabbos Moideh. But I'm sure when it comes to over Shabbos Moideh, when it comes to that he started Shabbos over there, then Rabbi Akiva would agree that the whole thing counts as 4 Amos. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? So you're telling me then that the Braisa is telling us a city and a cave, and it's telling us we're talking about a cave which is in fact inhabited. What do you mean? V'hokima aras tzidkiyo katani. Didn't the Braisa tell us that we're talking about a cave like the cave of Tzidkiyo? Nobody lives in that cave. Rashi explains because it belonged to the king. So therefore, so it was the king's personal property, so nobody else lived in it. Or Rashi says, even if somebody did live in it in Tzidkiyahu's times, but we're living hundreds of years after Tzidkiyahu, nobody lives in that cave now. So therefore, so it doesn't have diurin in it. So evidently, then, we have to be talking about, so the cave doesn't have anybody living in it, and therefore, apparently, neither does the city. What are you telling me that we're talking about a cave that does have people living in it, if we're comparing it to Ma'arat Tzidkiyahu, which doesn't? The answer is, we would say, Ki Ma'arat Tzidkiyahu v'loy Ki Ma'arat Tzidkiyahu. We would say, the Braisa is comparing the cave to the cave of Tzidkiyahu only in one way. It means by comparing it to Ma'arat Tzidkiyahu, it's just talking about the size of it, that it's a physically large cave like the cave of Tzidkiyahu. The loik Ma'arat Tzidkiyahu, however, the Braisa would say it's not completely like the cave of Tzidkiyahu, because over there we're talking about, because the actual cave of Tzidkiyahu is desolate, nobody lives there, whereas the cave we're talking about in our din over here is one that's inhabited. So therefore, so if we understand the Braisa that way, then it comes out the Braisa is according to Rabbi Akiva, and there's no contradiction against Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar is telling us what the Chachamim would say. Okay. So the Gemara tells a case where this machloikas of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim had practical implications. Mau Yehuda Ashkechinu Levnei Mevarachta. Mau Yehuda. Now this Mau Yehuda is not the same as Rav Yehuda in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda in the Gemara is a Talmud of Shmuel. This Mau Yehuda is later, as we're going to see in a second, he lived in the times of Rava. So a couple of generations later. So this Mau Yehuda, Ashkechinu, but he was a Talmud Chacham. Ashkechinu Levnei Mevarachta. He found the people of the town of Mevarachta to come mostly Eruvaihu b'bnei Knishta d'bei Aguber. They were placing their Eruv Tchumen in the shul of Bei Aguber. This was a large shul. The whole shul was within 2,000 amas of Mevarachta. So now what happened is, they were placing their Eruv in the shul. They figured, okay, the whole shul being enclosed is going to be considered like four amas, so it doesn't matter where in the shul building we place the Eruv Tchumen food, as long as someplace in the shul building, the whole building will count as four amas, and then we have 2,000 amas beyond it, so that'll allow us to walk to the next town, or wherever they want to go, which is like the Chachamim, say, in our Mishnah. Amalahu, so Mau Yehuda says that's no good. Gavu Beitfei, well, it's not no good, but he tells them, Gavu Beitfei, what you should do is put the Eruv further into the shul, put it in the furthest point of the shul from Mevarechta as possible. This way you'll be able to walk an extra few amas. Let's say the shul itself is 20 amas long. So like this, let's say they were placing it near the door of the shul, the door that's closer to Mevarachta, let's say. So Mau Yehuda is telling them, if you place it 20 amas further away at the other end of the shul, then you're gaining another 20 amas that you'll be able to walk. Because he held like Rabbi Akiva. He held like Rabbi Akiva that if you're hiniach, if you're placing your Eruv in a place, rather than Shavas, rather than actually starting Shabbos in that place, then the place does not count as Fuamas. So therefore, the further into the shul you place the Eruv, the more you're gaining. Again, the whole shul is within 2,000 Amas of Mevarachta anyway. And the pastors, they didn't have a need to go in the other direction, because we said the other day, you do lose in the other direction what you gain in the direction you place your Eruv, fine, but apparently that wasn't a concern over here. So therefore, he gives them advice, you should put it as far into the shul as possible. However, Amalei Rava, but Rava says to him, Palga, you're arguing with the Chachamim in when it comes to Eruvin, you should know, Eruvin, less the Chosh Lahad Rabbi Akiva, when it comes to Eruvin, nobody is concerned about the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, because, as we've learned before, Halacha Kedivrei HaMeikel be'Eruv, so we always go according to the more lenient opinion when it comes to an Eruv. So therefore, so now, of course, there is the factor of Akiva is going against the Chachamim, and usually the Halacha, usually Yochid V'Rab Malacha Kedavim anyway, but over here we could have argued that maybe Rabbi Akiva's logic is very compelling, and therefore maybe we should say the Halacha is like him. But Rava tells him, you have to remember, Halacha Kedivrei HaMeikel be'Eruv, so don't be an argumentative person and say that, no, Davka here, the Halacha has to be like Rabbi Akiva, the Halacha is like the Chachamim, even if he niach, they have the whole shul counts as four amas, therefore it doesn't matter where in the shul they place the Eruv. So that's as far as that. Now, as far as the machlokas at the beginning of the Amud, between Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar, whether if you place your Eruv in a desolate city, whether in an empty city, whether the city counts as four Amos or not, there you have a Machlokas Rishonim about it. Some of the Rishonim Paskin like Shmuel, and they say because they say when we say Alocha Kedivra Amneko Be'eruv, doesn't necessarily mean when it comes to a Machlokas Amoroyim, it may only mean a Machlokas Tanoyim. All the examples we brought before when we had the Sugya of Alocha Kedivra Amneko Be'eruv were all Machlokas Tanoyim, so maybe it only applies to that, or there might be other reasons to say the halacha is like Shmuel over here, including that we said according to Rabbi Elazar, we had to explain the last brisa that we quoted about the city of Antiochia and the cave of Tzidkiyahu. We had to explain it in a very forced way. We had to say that we're talking about a cave which is like the cave of Tzidkiyahu, but not completely like the cave of Tzidkiyahu. It was a very doichuk, so that might be a reason to pass them like Shmuel. On the other hand, the Rif and the Rambam and many other Rishonim do paskin like Rabbi Elazar because they hold that Halacha Kedivra Amneko Be'eruv applies to Machlokas of Amoroyim over here, to Machlokas of Amoroyim also. And that's how it is. That's the Halacha as brought in Shulchan Aruch, is that in fact the din is that even if you place your Eruv in an empty city, as long as the city is walled, nevertheless the city counts as four Amos, and then you have 2,000 Amos in every direction outside of the walls. Hadron Allah Ketzer Mabrin. Shkayach, everyone.